Welcome to the Appliance Educator Podcast, presented by Z-Line Kitchen & Bath. Attainable luxury designed in Lake Tahoe. It's appliance horror stories today on the cast, and we've got the whole appliance educator team in-house. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Appliance Educator Podcast. Today, we've got something really fun lined up for you. We've got both the appliance educators back again, Matt and Nick, and they're going to be sharing some of their favorite appliance and DIY horror stories. So this is going to be a real fun one. And before we dive right into it, too, if you've got an appliance or DIY horror story and you want to share it with us, leave it in the comments, shoot us an email, and we'd love to cover it on a future episode. So at that, let's just get started. Let's share some of these appliance horror stories.
Ooh, so spooky.
All right, well, should I start us off here?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, this one is called Hot Pan on Top of Dryer.
First, I wonder where this is going.
First of all, why is there a hot pan on top of your dryer? We have an old home with a washer and dryer in the kitchen next to the stove. Last night, my fiance placed a hot lid down on the top of the dryer, and now there are light brown burn marks that won't come off. Anything I can do to remove the marks? And then somebody said baking soda worked 95%. Repainting may have been another solution. I have a really good solution for this. Move or get like remodel your house and get your laundry out of your kitchen. I saw a kitchen like this once, and I was like, why do you want to have a place you can pile your dirty underwear next to where you eat and prepare food?
Sometimes places do have like a mudroom, no though, where it's just right off the house. Shopping for a home in the last few months, and it's been crazy how many places in Reno and Sparks have the kitchen and then your washer dryer hookups or the washer and dryer right there. I'm like, I don't want this. I'm moving. I'm not buying this place.
In the old Southwest, they have those houses a lot from the 50s and 60s. I'm not sure if it's like a spatial thing or if it's like this
it probably is the has to do with room. The lines too, because they're like, we can do. And you know what I've noticed is funny is they used to have a small room separating them, but then everybody's like, open concept, knock those walls down. Yeah. So now your laundry is in your kitchen.
I dated a girl once who had a really nice kitchen. It was like from the 50s, but it was remodeled and looked really nice. Had like that aesthetic of the 50s, but modernized. But they still had a stacked washer and dryer in the kitchen. And a few times you go over there, there'd be a pile of laundry 2 feet away from where you're going to cook bacon.
Well, you're done. You wipe your hands on that shirt, throw it in. Bingo, bingo.
Really? So, yeah. You have any dish rags? I just grab a shirt.
Yeah.
It's going to go in the laundry.
It's anyways. Going in anyways.
Yeah. I'm going to use these pair of boxers as a heating pad for my pot.
Yeah, exactly. Just have some underpants on the little dish rack.
Paper towels. Open the dryer, just throw them a piece of underwear. Little briefs. It's clean.
All right. Well, that's a good one.
It's just minimal.
That's a good start.
We're going to dip our toes in and ease in.
Yeah, let's see if we can raise the bar.
All right, I got one for you guys. I used my stove to heat my apartment quickly by turning on all 4 burners on the oven to max. Now none of them work, but the on-off lights on the power plug on top also still work. What is broken? Is it just a fuse or something else?
The way they think is probably broken.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a bad idea. You probably burnt out your electrical coils. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not meant to stay on that long.
For hours and hours, yeah.
And they're not meant to heat a room. They're meant to heat a pot.
Yes, something immediately above them. Also, the burn-off from that and the fumes.
Yeah, this is just a note for everyone out there. This is very dangerous. We do not recommend that you try to heat your home.
Maybe buy a space heater. That's a little bit safer.
Yeah. You're pretty lucky nothing happened from aside from that.
A space heater might be cheaper as well on your electrical bill.
I wonder if that's a safety thing that the appliance manufacturer develops. Like, if this burner is on for X amount of hours at one time, it melts something inside of it to stop it from exploding or just burning forever.
It's possible. Fire. And actually, there's probably parts on most burners that if they're hot long enough, parts of it that are not thermally rated are getting too hot.
Absolutely.
And they're going to break down.
Yeah, and the fact that the lights on the stove still work is a sign that your electrical is still working. Mm-hmm. And if your breakers aren't flipped, then you know the breaker didn't break. So.
Also, depending on the type of stove, because a lot of stoves, if you have the oven running full blast for a while, the top gets hot, especially if it's like a cheaper stove that's not insulated well, or one of the burners actually acts as an exhaust vent for that. Mm-hmm. So one of the burners you can have, as I've done me before, I've cooked in the oven, and then I was like, I have a pot I'm going to remove, cast iron. I grab the pot, and it's hot as hell because it's just been slowly heating up the whole time the oven is running because of that burner.
Yeah. But with that, too, you'd probably just want to open your top panel and start with replacing your burners.
Yeah. You probably want, if you're dating this person, you probably want to break up with them and go somewhere else just because you shouldn't use an appliance like that to heat your house. I'd rather start a fire inside.
So this is getting more into the appliance educator dating thing of like how you kind of judge your partner's use of appliances.
Yeah. We don't have a situation. I shouldn't be judging them at all, but
but we will.
I'm still going to do it regardless. Okay.
All right. What do we got next?
All right. So this one right here, I've recently been kindly given a freezer and it looks and works fine. Minus a plug that has to be replaced. The only two problems now are slight yellow discoloration on the top of the freezer and a little on the sides and a fairly deep scratch that I want to fix. First of all, they're complaining about being kindly given a freezer and how it's not the best freezer. A couple of people have told me it's impossible to repair cosmetic scratches like that, but surely there must be some paste, putty that can fill in the scratches. Can anyone give me some advice and or guide for cosmetic scratches? I can't find any online. I can't find anything online that doesn't revolve around cars, and I'm sure the process is entirely different for a freezer. Thanks. The next line says, whoever told you that these kinds of cosmetic issues can't be repaired is absolutely correct, unless you want to sand and Bondo and paint the whole thing the same way would a car. Now that you wanted to hear that, that's just the way it is. My first thought was Bondo. And my first experience with Bondo was just a quick shout out to our last podcast we did. We talked about our upbringings as being home repairmen. The place I lived at where the dryer wasn't working, her solution was to put caulking on the venting outside. The entrance was dry rotted. The wood was completely dry rotted.
Sure, because we're really dry out here. That's what I was thinking too, is it's going to warp and dry and crack.
So I suggested let's sand it down, do a clear stain, and then paint it. That will fix the wood, kind of rejuvenate it. I show up and she was putting Bondo on the wood to fill in the cracks where it was just splitting and sealing that. Bondo doesn't flex. It's meant to go on metal. It's not meant to, it won't be absorbed by the wood. And so then the wood started flexing around the Bondo that was now immovable.
And Bondo probably just fell right out of the wood.
And yeah.
Back and on the floor.
I was this little cement lump.
Yeah. So, but for an appliance like that, a freezer, back to this guy's story, I would say, yeah, Bondo. And like you, if you do want that dent fixed, just fill it in with a scraper and you could probably sand it and paint it, but
it's also a freezer that you're probably keeping in your garage.
They were given,
I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, if you're worried about that much, go buy your own freezer.
Well, yeah. And what I would say too is it depends on the surface, because like if you've got the typical white plastic outside, if you sand that thing, you're going to destroy it. It's probably better to just resurface it or put like a wood hutch around it.
Or replace
just
it cover completely.
Repanel it.
Yeah, you could probably find.
Same thing with stainless, right?
Because
you're not going to refinish stainless. It doesn't happen.
Right, you could. It would take a lot of work.
Sheet of stainless.
Right. Well, I mean, if you want to refinish the existing one, you probably could. You want to change the entire texture.
Buff the whole surface, yeah.
So whatever you do, you want to change the whole thing. A lot of work to probably not look that great. You're absolutely right, though.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, check with your surface first. But the other thing I would say is you could probably just build a nice little wooden hutch around it.
They have these things called stores you can buy freezers in.
Also, when you've got those spare stickers in a drawer in your kitchen, you don't know what to do, is slap a few stickers on the cool freezer in the garage with some stickers. It lets people know you're a cool guy.
Yep. That dentist character, because it has a little Betty Boop sticker in there.
Exactly.
That's a great solution. Sticker it up.
I've got a personal story to go on top of this. So we're at my girlfriend's house and her roommate just bought this house, and the dishwasher wasn't powering up. You turn the knob, it wasn't doing anything. And so she has this home warranty. She calls the warranty guy, and he comes in, and he goes, "Oh, it's not plugged in." End of story. So.
Actually, that is like a pro tip. It can never be said enough. When you have an electrical experience, check the plug.
Yes.
Check the power.
Mm-hmm. Even if it looks plugged in, it could be the plug has been pulled out slightly and it's not connected.
Yeah.
Very common. On there, I made a note that I was going to follow up with another personal story of mine. Yeah, we talked about this, and I totally forgot what that story was. Do you remember what it was?
I think it was the dryer story.
Oh, that was the dryer story I told in our last podcast.
Yeah, so you
that's right.
Blew your load a little early.
That's fine. Go, audience, go a few episodes back, and you can hear all about how the dryer was like sort of the nemesis that your origin story as an appliance.
It took 17 therapy sessions to get over it,
and clearly you are.
Yep. All right.
I got some tips. So I started on subreddit. Appliance repair. I started a chat, And if you're an appliance repairman, come give me your horror stories on that. But here are some tips from those repairmen on that subreddit. This one has a lot to do with foil. Do not put aluminum foil under bake elements. Buy a washable grease tray. They collect grease underneath and could be a fire hazard and like to collect food underneath.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Here's another one. Do not put aluminum foil under your gas cooktop. The foil does not go there. It collects grease and food in the oven cavity and will attract both roaches and mice, which will cause utter hell. No appliance repairman wants to work on something that looks like it belongs in a dumpster. Do not put aluminum foil under your coil burners. That's what the bowls are for. If it gets dirty, unplug the coil and wash the drip bowls out. The foil will cause the elements to short if not careful. Empty your pot. Went a little too fast on that. I will slow down.
No. And just on that foil thing, yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because if you're capturing the grease in the food, you're building up a fire hazard.
Right. Well, they're built like it's like the repairman said. They're built for you to disconnect and take the bowls out to wash and get rid of the gunk.
Gunk and grime.
The grunk and grime.
The grunk and grime. And grime.
Mm-hmm. Gunk and grime. Grime. Grunk.
Grunk. Because gunk is a word. But grunk is also a word.
Grunk's our word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, continue, grunk.
Okay. Here's another one. Empty your pockets before you throw your clothes in the washer. When the drain strains gets clogged with a pocket change, bobby pins, cologne sticks, toothpicks, and face masks, some poor soul has to be the one to shove their hands up in the sour fecal water collecting, and it isn't you. Yeah. Make it easier on the repairman.
It would be me.
And in the spirit of DIY, sometimes it will be you, so save yourself from this future horror story. Yeah.
A rubber glove only goes up so far your hand.
Exactly. Not mine. And even then, there's some things that you just can't unsee.
Very true.
And it all came from you.
Oof. Very true.
All right, here's another one. Clean your vents. No one wants their dryer to look like a Barney the Purple Dinosaur took a big fat diarrhea dump all inside your appliance.
Very true.
100% correct.
Yes.
Okay. Matt?
Do you want me to take a couple of these?
Yeah.
Yeah, not knowing the entire door on a generic Whirlpool oven is held together by only 4 screws. I popped it open to diagnose a hinge issue.
Ah, so he reassembled the door.
Yes. This right here.
The story continues.
Okay. Oh, with the release of pressure from the screws, the riveted pivot on the hinge blew, and the door literally fell apart in my hands. With no way to make it fit back together and a special order hinge with a 3-week ETA, I had to leave the customer without an oven door until I could scrounge one up somewhere. Lesson, if you don't have a spare part on you, don't get too curious if you don't have to. Also, don't underestimate how stingy manufacturers will be with their designs.
This is a good tip because there's not much hardware in a lot of oven doors, and there's a lot of parts in an oven door.
And then having something that's like pressurized or like bolted together that you're releasing all of that pressure, which I actually have a personal horror story about involving a Murphy bed that almost collapsed like a 6-foot mousetrap on me that I designed.
Do you want to tack that on? You're like, it almost killed me by my design.
I just kind of put that in the end.
It wasn't a suicide attempt.
I built this thing out of some plywood and hydraulics. I bought a kit online that had the hydraulics for basically the actual mechanism itself. And then bought all the plywood and then cut everything to scale, made it. Bed worked flawlessly. I built it to their designs. And the header on top, you're not supposed to wood glue all around in case you want to disassemble it and move the house. Just held together by the screws.
Not permanently fixed. In place,
exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, the weight of all of this is being held at the top in the header board.
Safe.
Yeah. And so if it was all wood glued and secured, it'd be fine because it's all structurally sound. But it's held together by screws and plywood. And so after several months of sleeping last night, I noticed that the frame was pulling away from the ceiling and bowing. So like the top of the header board was pulling away from the side frame itself. So it wasn't glued in. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the bed up. And I'm going to get on top and I'm going to unscrew the top and like slowly lower the header down because I can hold that weight. And then just put wood glue in there and clamp it down and then let it sit and then put it back together. Instead of uninstalling the whole entire thing like you should do if you're going to be doing any kind of repair like that. So I got up there and all the screws are in studs. And so I'm in the center of this Murphy bed. I can barely just see over the top of the Murphy bed, so I get my
where all
my
the drill. Weight is.
But then keep in mind, like, the Murphy beds can lift a full, you know, couple hundred pound mattress up and down with ease. So it has like 600 pounds of pressure on that hydraulic, always wanting to collapse closed. And so I'm just on top of here, just like barely on my tippy toes, and I remove the screw from the right hand side, pass the drill on the left hand side, remove that screw, and it's good to go. I can just feel like there's a little bit of weight. So, all right, cool. So I put my weight on the Murphy bed, I hold it, and I put the screw, I drill in, and I unscrew the last screw, which is in the stud. And the second it releases, it just collapses like a giant mousetrap. And it threw me, instead of collapsing on me, into my closet, into my dresser in the closet, into a pile of laundry that I was just about to do. So I land very safely into this pile of laundry as it just collapses and makes such a loud noise that when my neighbors came over thinking that like something had collapsed in the garage.
So is your appliance guardian angel looking out for you? Absolutely. You
wouldn't be here. I could not separate it again once it was had fallen down. I had to remove the bed from the back.
And undo the hydraulics.
And undo the hydraulics to put it. And then I probably spent an hour of adrenaline just thinking I could have had that collapse.
600 pounds of pressure with like a weighted board coming
in.
There's
no way. Yeah. As a full grown man standing up outside of it, I could not peel it apart. So, after that, I was like, you need to be a lot more careful about, you do not stand in the appliance or the thing that you're trying to repair. Make sure you're safe. Make sure have a spotter.
Do not sit in the oven while you take the oven
door. Yeah. I think that's
universal advice for the channels. Don't be inside the appliance.
I almost won a Darwin Award. that in an alternate universe, somebody found a dead mat.
Yeah,
a dead flat and a 6-foot mouse trap.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, so that's my own personal DIY story that ended up okay, but that was just to try to avoid.
Still a horror story, scary.
Yeah, very. Yeah, even thinking about it right now, just going back to that moment, like, what were you thinking, you idiot?
Okay, I'll go with this next one. Okay. Hey guys, I got mad and dented the front of a very old Maytag washing machine. I don't know how to take off the top, so I couldn't fix the dent. If anyone could help me, that'd be great. I don't know how to check the model number in this picture. And we'll post the picture on the YouTube version of this podcast, but if you're listening to just the podcast, this thing's got to be from the 80s.
Yeah, and early 80s.
It's disgusting.
Eight different owners.
It's got like mildew mold.
Grunk and grime.
Yeah. The lid was open and it looked like somebody was cooking bacon on it. Like there's like grease.
Well, I'm sure there's all kind of like buildup from the soap, the water.
Yes.
30 plus years.
It's all colorized.
It gives you an idea who this Reddit poster is in the photo of the washing machine.
Which we should do just a real quick aside. We should do a video on like how to clean your washing machine and dryer. Just because like I'm sure a lot of people don't. It cleans it close.
And there's a lot of gross buildup in it.
I can't wait to do that because I'm the cleaning guy in these videos usually. So I'm going to just shove myself right in a washing machine.
Who's in the cleaning video? I'm going to be out that day.
Yeah. Okay, so following into the comments of this one. Hey, I have a policy that if a post includes a story, you must explain yourself. What made you so mad that you took it out on a poor, defenseless washing machine? Okay, and response. Me and my family had an argument. I live with all girls, so they gang up me. And you know, I can't hit women, so I kicked the washing machine. But now I regret it. Response. Understandable. Too many X chromosomes in a confined space is a personal nightmare of mine. Of course, I'm the youngest. Response back. Oof. Yeah, once the hens start pecking and you're outnumbered and you're the youngest, yikes. I find acts of violence against inanimate objects to be childish, but I get your situation. Next time, kick something either more durable or less expensive. I can't say that this washing machine was expensive, maybe brand new, but that was about 35 years ago. So, again, agree though. Yeah. Don't kick something as hard as that too. You might break your toe or something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Get a soccer ball. Go for a walk. Yeah. You know, there's healthy alternatives.
Take some breaths.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get a punching bag. You gotta hit something.
If you're not ready to really dive in on that DIY project, don't attack your appliance.
Yes. When I was younger, That was one thing I did learn from my dad, is to get upset as quickly as you can and yell and scream and curse.
you gotta get it out one way or another.
That's true. Right? It's coming to the surface.
I think why he didn't do a lot of DIY stuff is because he was trying to do something like, goddamn, and just like a hammer would fly across a room. And so my mom was like, I'll just do it. So I'll like go with her and do it.
That's like when you start one project and you make three more.
Yes. And then somebody else comes behind and does those projects. And you're like, I did pretty good on this project, actually.
I got it
actually.
Done. Yeah.
I don't know how it finished up, but it finished up nicely. So I learned that like early on, there are times when like doing a DIY project where I felt so angry. I just wanted to like smash the thing I'm working on. But it's like, what good does that do? It might help, you know, burn a couple calories and you might feel good for a split second, but then that thing's broken forever or damaged forever or
cause you trauma and have to take you to therapy.
Right. Or somebody sees that and they're like, oh, God, this guy's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the thing we've talked about this before, but like, don't put that pressure on yourself. You're figuring out how to do this. Take your time.
And it's always okay to take a deep breath, take a step away, and just know that this in an object, it's not its fault you're upset. You're making yourself upset.
Right. And it'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can do the project tomorrow.
And this is going to lead to a nice segue because the rest of the show will be about a therapy session with not getting mad at inanimate objects. That's rude. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I got a good one here. It's also Maytag.
Shout out Maytag.
Maytag.
Looking for sponsors.
So this one, the washer and dryer units in my new apartment are horrendously bad. The washer model is MVW723. They included the model numbers, which are really long. I'm not sure why we'd want to do that. But if you want to look this up, MVW7230HW, and the dryer is MED7230HW. They're about $1,000 each and are probably the worst washer and dryers I've ever used in my life. Safe to assume these are brand new. The washer mangles all the shit out of my clothes and leaves everything completely twisted. That's weird that a washer would do that. Like when it twists and spins, that's weird they would like twist your clothes. And that's what I don't understand. And it just completely stopped working while trying to wash my bed sheets. That's not okay. It gave me the code F0E9, which apparently relates to it being off balance, which makes sense since my sheets were twisted around the aggregator and stuck to one side. Really sweet washer.
That's actually really common too when you wash like your comforter, just the weight balance issue.
Yeah. Well, also bed sheets, they like to just open themselves up and just all the socks come inside.
Yep.
And like stay wet. The dryer gives me an error every single time I use it saying, clean the filter for better performance, even though I clean it after every load and even midway through the towels. That sucks. It never actually dries my clothes. Everything comes out wet, even when I set it to time dry and turn off the steam feature, which literally just soaks the clothes. Does anyone have any experience with these units or other Maytag commercial technology units? It appears they're all roughly the same. I'm afraid to wash my Oxford shirts in the washer because I have no idea if it's going to just rip something in half at this point. And I'm wondering if I should just buy my own front load washer and dryer and stick these in the storage unit until my lease ends. That's actually something I've done before where I was like, the appliance was bad, the property management was bad, and they're just like, we're not going to repair anything that's not broken or you don't like. So I actually bought an appliance and just uninstalled theirs, put it in the garage, and then used mine. And then a week before I left, just swapped them back out.
Yeah, and you'd take the good ones with you when you move, right?
I actually ended up selling the good one and didn't make a profit, obviously. It's a used appliance, but I made a few hundred dollars back. So I was like, I'm not in the hole. And like that way, and it made it worth it. Exactly.
Yeah. And all the money you saved in not having your clothes destroyed.
Yes. For this one, I'm not sure what to say. If it's off balance, maybe bolt it down. It sounds like it's a manufacturing issue, the way they designed it. Also, I'm not sure.
Like this guy seems kind of stubborn.
Very stubborn.
Yeah, and there's some things you could do here. Like with the sheets thing, you know what I learned? This is a good trick. Lay them in a circular fashion and try to balance out the load first. It'll always group up, but just try your best to.
This could be one of those people that get upset at the way something's designed to be used and not using it properly. Because there are those people out there. I've been one of them myself when I'm like, this doesn't work correctly. And I was like, oh, there's the directions. I'm not using it right.
That reminds me of a story. We were camping out one time and we're driving like on this dirt road for a long time. We all started popping tires because it's like really sharp rocks on the road. And I get my tire changed and then my buddy's like under his truck trying to get it loose. He's like, I can't do it. And then one of the girls comes up, where's your manual for your car? And goes, grabs the manual, reads it, sticks it into the back of the stick in the back of the license plate area, turns, boom, pops right off. He's like,
yeah. I bought a 92 F-150 a few years ago, and the first thing I did was I bought a manual for it. It was like a repair mechanics manual.
Yeah, they have aftermarket manuals. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like, it's a truck. I can see everything in the engine. I can get to everything. So I wanted to save money because I had given up an Audi that was like I liked owning. It was fun. But I'm like, I'm basically working to pay for the repairs to get this car to get me to work to make more money to pay for it to work.
An Audi I had as well.
Audis, man. So I was like, I'm going to buy a 25-year-old truck that's made in America that could buy parts for $10.
Yeah, and never die.
Yeah. And the first thing that I had to do was change the park plugs. Mechanics quoted me $535. And I was like, I don't know, that doesn't sound right. And I go online and like for a really nice spark plug for a Ford F-150 from 1992, it's like $1.75 for a platinum spark plug. And I was like, eight of those, it's less than $20. And then just spend 3 hours doing it myself, which I did. Didn't kick anything or get upset. I did get very upset. I had to walk away because I was like, at the last two spark plugs, where the very back is a V8, and they're like angled backwards. So I'm like reaching over my entire engine, trying to get in there to like unscrew these spark plugs without breaking them. Because I've also never changed spark plugs before this time in my life. And I've heard that you can like shatter the ceramic in there, and then you have to like, and I'm like, I'm picturing, and I have to get money together to pay for a tow truck to get it to a shop to say, I can't afford you to fix this. So I had to be very cautious with undoing that. And it ended up working out just fine. Just took my time, took a deep breath, walked away, and came back to it, and then. Well,
even if it takes 3 hours, you're just telling yourself, I'm paying myself about $150 an hour.
That's
right now.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to pay my rent.
Great way to look at it. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get food.
I won't have to live in the truck.
I'm not going to eat ketchup for dinner tonight.
Yep.
Never happened.
A fancy ketchup.
57.
I've definitely done that before where I've had like top ramen and ketchup for dinner.
Ew. That's, yeah.
All I had was like one thing of top ramen left, and then I was still hungry, and all I had was ketchup.
That's not a tip, by the way, audience. We don't recommend.
There can't be that many calories in ketchup where it's...
It fills you up if you eat a cup of it.
It's like sugar and vinegar.
Yeah, 100%. It's not good for you at all. No. It was a time of my life when I was, you know... I was trying to find what to do for a living and make money, and I was working at a warehouse.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't we bring it home? Why don't we bring it home here?
The last one. Last one.
Please.
Okay. And this is just a headline. 21-year-old plus GE mini fridge. Time to pull an old Yeller? Yes. Yeah, yes, it is. Take it out back.
Unless it's still working.
Put it to rest.
I mean, if it's still working good, it sounds like it's not working.
You might be able to recharge the cool, but it's a fridge. It's not worth the trouble.
It's a mini fridge.
Oh, mini fridge for sure. It would probably cost more to repair it than it would to buy a new mini fridge.
If you can find the parts.
It's probably a lot of fun to just blow a hole in it, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Good target practice.
Yeah, put the cans on top of the mini fridge and just start.
And then just shoot the mini fridge and then put the cans.
Yeah, the best thing to salvage is probably like the stickers from your dorm. That you put on it when you over first the got it. Yeah, exactly. But,
yeah. Because mini fridge is like, what, $100 for
I think you can find one at Walmart for like $100 these days pretty easily.
Also, just knowing like major appliance brands, if you have a 20-year-old appliance, you're going to pay an aftermarket price. Like they're not stocking
those parts.
The coolant or the line for that. Yeah.
You have to basically build a new refrigerator yourself. With like the compressors, the everything.
You go ahead and do that.
Which I think. Yeah. Oh, no way. I think they pretty much did that too. And then it still didn't work.
Yeah.
Is that the same article that talked about that where they had redone a few things?
Yeah, it goes in pretty deep, but it's just, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I have one last horror story that I.
Go for it. Bring us home.
Oh, this gives me so much stress. But this guy was hanging a wall-mounted TV in his living room. It's a two-story house. And he didn't have a stud finder. So he's just like measuring to find the studs and like doing the knock and like, okay, there's a stud here. Cause I can like knock right here. It doesn't sound hollow on the side, hollow on the side. It's gotta be a stud. And so he sunk his screws in and they'd grab something like the stud, but then they wouldn't stick. He'd pull them back out. Like, it's like, is the wood dry rotted? Cause like I'm pulling these back out. They're not quite sticking in there. And he's like, I'll take a drill bit and like go to the left, go to the right. Okay. It's empty space. There's definitely a stud here. And he took a drill bit again. So now he has the two holes in the wall. He takes a drill bit down below. I'm going to go a couple inches lower. And he hits it again. I'm hitting something. He pulls it out. And there's like this white spiraled plastic. And he's like, maybe this is like, did they sheath this around the stud? This is what he's like thinking in his mind. So he goes, I'm going to do a little bit higher. So he goes higher again, and it pulls that out, and the same little plastic spiral comes out with him. And he's like, I'm pulling something out of the wall, but it's not insulation. It's not wood. And then his wife upstairs turns the water on to take a shower. And then he feels the air coming out of the wall, and he realizes he's been drilling into a pipe that has water that's going upstairs. And so he said he took just blasts of water to the face and chest, and it emptied. All that water was going all over his entertainment system with his cable box. His TV was next to it. So it ended up, and also it ruined everything in the floor, the mold, and it cost him like $5,000 to get all repaired at the end of the day.
Yeah, as opposed to the $20 stud finder.
I think you can get a stud finder even cheaper than that.
I would be a really bad friend, except if that was my friend, I'd be like, hey, for Christmas, the next Christmas, I'd buy him
a stud finder.
And I'd leave the price tag on it. I'm like, this is $20. This is a really nice one.
Well, this was a lot of fun today, guys. And as we said at the top of the cast, you know, if you at home have your appliance horror story, things gone horribly wrong, a project you're halfway through until suddenly you realize you're not ready to do it, please leave it in the comments for us. Shoot us an email. We'd love to cover it on a future cast. And thanks, guys, for sharing some spooky appliance horror stories.
Yeah. I won't be able to sleep tonight. I know that for sure.
This has been the Appliance Educator Podcast, brought to you by Z-Line Kitchen and Bath. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow at Appliance Educator for more tips and tricks and advice to keep your home running at optimal performance. If you have any ideas or topics you'd like to hear on future episodes of the show, leave us a comment. Appliance Educator, signing off.